welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast, our weekly look into twice weekly this week.
Whoa. Hey. For all of the weeks that we skip.
We're making it up today. It is now even. Yeah. Nerdy soccer culture fan outrage in an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty, MLS. We're your hosts for Mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at Lumen Field. He's Mr. Dr. Spokane Brandon.
Yeah, that's me.
That's a good name.
That's a good name. That's Mr. Doctor. Man, that's the most respect I've ever gotten from anybody.
Unearned.
Absolutely unearned. Hey, I'm a white male. I earned it.
Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
Primarily, we want to, you know, just know who your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player is.
Yeah, and at this point, just pick a Roldan. Like, just pick one.
My wife this morning, she was like, oh, it was the other Roldan that was in goal? Oh, I didn't understand that. And I was like, there was a picture this week. They made some reference to a song that I didn't understand. And it was all the players walking to the practice pitch. And there was Alex on one side, João Paulo in the middle, and Christian on the other side. And the three of them, they all look related. They're the same height. They're like different face structures. It's kind of all meld together. Like if you take both Roldan brothers and combine them, you get a João Paulo.
If you literally combine their ages, they would look like, if you added Alex Roldan to a Christian Roldan.
There you go.
João Paulo is not that old, I don't think. I mean, he's older than them for sure. But he just looks like he's been through some stuff, you know, he just looks tired of everybody else's crap all the time.
Yeah, it looks like he's got 50 kids and a neighbor with chickens.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like really.
Give me a break, man. Yeah. Like that. He's just at every given, like he's just always looking at people and going, come on. and however you say that in Spanish or Portuguese.
He's Portuguese, especially the ref. It's like,
Oh my gosh.
This week, the I've Got No Legs, or My Leg! Seattle Sounders FC take on Old Lex Luthor's LAFC. Like that.
Severe case of horse glaucoma in San Jose last night.
Full90podcast.com, a tough match to swallow. Sounders stay unbeaten, positive, on the road against last year's whipping post San Jose, bringing home 3 points, but at the cost of 2 big losses, neither of which involve horse drugs or fuzzy vision.
Are we sure? No,
we're not actually. The squad will have to answer big questions as Seattle navigates a congested early portion of the season, hopefully with a little time off in the future, something I could have looked up, but I chose not to.
Yeah, it's I think that this is probably one of the busier times, and like we're not real media, so we don't know exactly how many games are coming up.
The word is journalists.
Yeah, we are technically media, definitely not journalists.
Yeah, I'm real media, but just not. Yeah, I always like say it. It's like I always want to call my news segment on my radio show fake news, but you can't because the guy ruined it. Sorry, I'm trying not to swear, but
yeah.
Because when it's fake news, it's funny. Then you're just like, oh, I don't have to take this dude seriously. It's just a thing. So
yeah, it's a weird. Let's hope that the horse drugs that the Sounders medical staff have are strong enough because. Both Jordy, I mean, first of all, crazy rotated lineup that the Sounders walk. I looked at the lineup. I wasn't able to watch most of the first half. I was able to tune in for portions of it, right?
Yeah.
And my brother sent me a text. It's just a screenshot of the lineup that the Sounders ran out. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on here? Yeah. Ethan Dobbelaire getting his start. Danny Leyva getting a start in the middle. Nico Ladero out, still injured. Freddie Montero on the bench.
If you're at San Jose Earthquakes, are you like, ah, oh, come on?
it's just like a ultimate sign of disrespect for the Sounders to trot out like two teenagers and a
some guy in the parking
and
lot.
Arriaga in the back.
Hey, come on, guy. You pass a COVID test? Get on in here. You're vaccinated, Jan? Bro? Yan?
Yan?
These are my friends, Yan and Jose. Like, they're coming too. Great. Yeah. You're starting.
And hey, I mean, it ended up working out for the Sounders after,
When you got two teenagers, like that's like, and you're still up 1-0 off of the insane swinging RoboCop leg of Christian Roldan.
Well, and there were a ton of other opportunities as well. Like the few times that I was able to tune in, I was like, the ball is just bouncing around in the box. Like, Ethan Davalair looks like he should have had a goal. You know, they played well. And for San Jose, who's been having talk of the town with their Caden Bladen Skaden Faden, that guy gets shut. I mean, he has a good game, don't get me wrong, but like,
fine.
You go in there and our two teenagers make the difference, and their teenager.
Okay, so we're way out ahead of ourselves.
Bullied. Yeah.
We're way out ahead of ourselves here. First of all, Sumo is back. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And okay. What are we even talking about?
What are you doing here? Just like rushing into it. No fans in the stands. And it's interesting because they've got the Olympics here in like 2 months. They're really trying to crack down everything. But fat guys running into each other and then grunting and breathing heavy when they're just standing there is amazing. The leg slapping that's going on, really good. So here we are with 10 more days left in the sumo tournament, and I predict that Toreno Fuji is going to win it, and he's going to become the next Yokozuna. I just want to put that out there.
Is he currently a
Ozeki?
Ozeki.
Yeah, and he won the last tournament. And the rule of thumb is if you win two tournaments in a row and you're at the highest rankings, which is called the Sekitori, that you are eligible to become Yokozuna, which is like pretty dope. So I think we're going to have a new one.
Currently, there's only one, right? Hakuho is the only remaining Yokozuna.
And he got surgery on his knee. Like, he's on the freaking Seattle Sounders, so he's not even playing right now.
give him the horse drugs. Wait, their training places are called stables, right?
If anywhere
horse drugs make sense, it's in the sumo world.
Yeah, they just eat hay all day and then horse drug it up. Let's go. Yeah. That horse cocaine is out of control.
You can't keep a Yokozuna from partying.
All right, anyway, soccer. I watched the first half, except my wife is putting our child to bed last night because it's a late enough game that's happening, and he is raising holy hell with her, and it's like, finally, I have to go upstairs and take over. I'm gone for 6 minutes. I come back 1-0. I'm like, son of a bitch! So I go back and watch the incredible, like I said, RoboCop leg goal of Christian Roldan, left-footed from... It was on his left? Yeah.
Yeah, his left foot.
Left-footed from 30 yards out and just blasted one by. No chance for anyone to save that. Not even Casey Keller.
It's like only scores bangers Christian Roldan. Like, he pops up when you least expect him, and it's always from like 20 yards out.
Yeah, he effectively has really replaced Ozzie Alonso. It's
there you go.
He learned from the guy, and he's emulating him brilliantly.
So Steve Zakuani just put out he's been writing for Major League Soccer, soccer.com.com, and he put out a column that was like everything that we learned from these midweek matches. And the biggest takeaway for him is that Christian Roldan, easily man of the match for the Sounders. And the reason is because he pops up and he scores goals like that, but then like 20 minutes later, he's making a 70-yard run and stopping a goal on the other side. He is your quintessential box-to-box midfielder who can do everything.
And he can bang it in!
And he's playing the best, according to Steve Zakuani, and I think like over the last few matches, he's playing the best soccer of his life. And then you look at these...
There was a really good take that Steve had. He was like, the most valuable draft that they've person that they've drafted, and they're like, the most valuable. And he was like, well, if my career would have gone longer, then definitely not. And like, LOLs. It was fun.
So you look at the they just release, as they do every year, except for last year because of COVID, and they probably weren't paying anybody anything. They not paying anybody. We do not deal with human. Like trade here.
I mean, we talk about it almost every episode. They pay in new who's. So
they do pay. And how many new who's do you get? So they released the salaries for all of the teams this year. And the takeaway for the Sounders is that we are paying nobody anything. Like, Matt Doyle, who is an analyst for Major League Soccer, soccer.com.com, says that my biggest takeaway from the salary release is that I never want to play poker with Garth Lagerwey, because you have currently the undefeated through five games Seattle Sounders with a roster, and you're looking at some of the things that these players are making. Like, yeah, you've got Nico Ladero making, you know, $2.1 million. You've got Raul Ruiz Diaz making $2.1 million. But then you've got, like, Stefan Fry. You're, like, essentially overlooked league best goalkeeper for the last 5 years, making $500,000.
That's the maximum he could make without being like a
DP,
being
a TA or a TAM or a GAM or, you know, a thank you ma'am player, like whatever it is. But he's making like no money. Thankfully, our boy Nuhu Yolo is making $125,000 guaranteed.
He's making two Nuhus now.
Yeah. Yes. So Nuhu is now officially worth two Nuhus, and he's been playing like two Nuhus out on the field, like two Nuhus sitting on each other's shoulders wearing a trench coat. That is Nuhu. That is center back Nuhu.
Even imagine the legs on that thing. Jeez.
Oh, he'd be like a Doc Ock.
Just,
like,
just all legs, though?
Yeah. Just wiggly.
Yeah, because Doc Ock only had the four, right? Okay, anyway.
Yeah, which is funny. Why'd they call him Doc Ock? I guess he has four legs, then he's got his regular arms and his regular legs.
Also, his last name is Octavius, but okay.
You know. Right, I mean,
NBD.
Yeah, that does make more sense. Yeah, but you look, I mean, the numbers that these players are making, like, I wonder what it's like the Roldan household at Thanksgiving when Christian Roldan comes in making $750,000 and Alex Roldan is making $93,000 a year.
I imagine that's about to change. I wonder what it's like when Raul Ruiz Diaz and Nico Ladero are hanging out and Nico's like, I am the more highly paid player at $2,120,000 compared to your $2,100,000.
Just $20,000 more. It just means that Nico Ladero has to pay for drinks anytime that they go out.
He's like, I get paid a third of a Nuhu more than you do.
It's crazy to think, like, you see these two new center back signings, right? Yamar making $300,000. Javier Arriaga making almost $400,000. So, I mean, the Sounders, it's not like they're not dishing out money, but when you're talking about global soccer, right? Like these they're making pennies compared to what their counterparts are making in other much larger leagues, obviously. But even if you look around the Seattle or just around Major League Soccer, there's some sort of statistic is that the entire Sounders back line is making less money than a few individual defenders in the rest of the league. And so you want to talk about like bang for your buck. Garth Lagerwey is getting an absolute steal with this roster. And the thing that I take away from it is that if you don't win with this roster right now, this year, some of these players the way that they're playing are going to go leave and make bigger money. Right, yeah, like Nuhu making $125,000. There's been talks about him for the last few years leaving to go play in France in either one of the lower Ligue 1 teams or go play in the second division. If he's making, you know, less than $500,000 right now, well less than $500,000 right now, why wouldn't he go make that in France? Right? Especially the way that he's been playing this year.
Yeah, he's worth at least eight Nuhus, and he's getting paid like two Nuhus.
That is the tallest center back I've ever seen.
Also, that is the strangest trench coat in the world. That's great. It's really fascinating to see. And then like some of these other guys, like starting the season, Atencio making $63,000. He's making less than a Nuhu to start off. It's a lot. All right, so a fine first half, but Seattle spent way too much time in their own half at that match, except for the goal and a lot of promising play, but against a team that they really that back three. I made the joke on Twitter at some point, but the back three for Seattle is a really interesting approach because it can be a back five whenever you need it to be, and it always allows one of your center backs to be god awful,
always going to happen for the
Sounders. Shane O'Neill was playing like he wasn't prepared to play last night. Dilem goes down hurt. Shane O'Neill comes on, and he was playing like he wasn't expecting to play and didn't rise to it. Made a lot of like stupid mistakes, almost gave up a couple huge opportunities. And fine. I mean, everyone's got a bad day. You should have heard my radio show today. It was god awful. But it's like those types of things. When you have three center backs like that, when Yamar's looking sleepy out there, it's okay because Nuhu's cleaning up. And it's worked out really well. I've been wondering this for the last couple weeks now, never really pose this with you. Is any other team playing a 3/5 back setup like we are?
I don't think so. And granted, like we said, we're not real journalists, so what do we know? But I don't think, like, I mean, you've got some of these analysts talking about how kind of different in how experimental what the Sounders are doing right now is, because you don't have a lot of teams mm-hmm. and a lot of that are even willing to take this kind of risk, because you don't necessarily have the talent to understand this kind of system and to play this kind of system. Yeah. The Sounders, remember last year when they signed Jimmy Madronda and then you brought in Brad Bradsmith and you still had Jovan Jones, we were talking about like, why do we have so many left backs, right? Like, you have so many guys that can play on the left side and specifically play in the left defense position. And now you find a way to like start to fit some, yeah, Jovan Jones is gone, but like you start to find a way to fit these guys into a system that makes sense. The Sounders are playing to their roster strengths, not necessarily some system that will work for any team, but they're playing to the strengths of what their roster is. And as you're seeing, a player goes out injured, you can slot another player into that because they understand the system. All of a sudden, it's a system that you're playing. You're not relying on one player or two players to have a great game. You don't need Christian Roldan to cover the entire midfield. You don't need Nico Ladero to like quarterback the ball every single time you want to go forward.
It is questionable whether Arriaga understands the system. Just
but the system also creates, like you were talking about, the ability. So as soon as Shane O'Neill starts to get his, you know, together, then Arriaga starts diving in for tackles and letting players run right by him and get free crosses into the box.
Steve Zakuani, brutal on Arriaga, being like, you do not slide in that moment. And I'm like, I, the idiot at home watching him, like, what are you doing on the ground? Get up. And then Zakuani, like, just straight out calls him out on that, which is good.
He has that tendency. He has that tendency to dive into tackles and thankfully not get punished for it yet. Look, the Sounders defense, you're right. Like, you always have the ability to have one of our center backs just absolutely just suck. But still, the Sounders have only given up 2 goals in the entire season and 0 from open play, right? 2 free kick goals. No goals from open play. So that, like, regardless of the errors and the mistakes that some of these players are making, the Sounders are very much in this bend, especially against San Jose, bend but not break mindset. You can give up opportunities when you have a Alex Roldan playing goalkeeper or a Stefan Fry back there. You don't have to, like, you know, not everything is going to be the end of you, right?
So that brings us to one of the most difficult parts of the match was I went upstairs in the 69th minute.
Nice.
To go to sleep because I'd get up at a horrendous hour every day.
And at 4:20 like, well, every morning.
Yeah. For realio. But knowing that we were up 1-0, I was like, okay. They just brought on João Paulo and Freddy Montero's out there. I was like, I feel like they probably have this. Let's go to bed. And then I happened to look at my Twitter right before, and it was like, pray for Fry, pray for Fry. It was like all the, and I was like, oh no, what has happened? Our own Full 90 podcast on Twitter definitely alerted to me to what was happening. And it was very strange to see 89th career shutout for Fry, first career shutout for Alex Roldan. And I was like, I mean, he's played through a whole match before. And then I started to dig deeper and I was like, oh, not as goalkeeper. He hasn't. What has happened? I still haven't seen the clip. I didn't see it when it happened. I know that everyone was pissed because they kept showing it over and over and over and over on Joe TV.
It's like, that's form. Something that you don't want to watch. Keith Koskinen, that's something that you don't want to see again. Let's almost, watch it again.
Almost like he's feeding it to the producer to be like, stop,
like,
man.
Like, please, this is not something that we want to see again. It's weird, though, because, like, the injury itself, when you watch it, like, he goes down in an absolute lump. I'll tell you, he goes down in a lump and he starts screaming.
From what? He just was standing there and just fell over?
I want to say, like, he goes down looking incredibly hurt. And then when you watch the replay, yes, it looks painful. It looks awkward. But the knee that he's holding doesn't look like the one that he injured. You know what I mean?
You still have not described.
I'm getting there, okay? So what happens is that Shane O'Neill, it's a cross or something. It's a corner kick. I don't remember. It's free kick, corner kick, something. It's a big cross into the box. Stefan Fry is coming out to try to grab it. And he's jumping kind of sideways, leaping into the air. One leg is left out because of balance or whatever. And Shane O'Neill is also going to try to clear the ball. Shane O'Neill runs into the leg that's in the air. He lands on he comes down and lands on his other foot, and it looks like his leg gets really twisted around as he comes and spins around. But then he holds the knee that Shane O'Neill ran into. So it's weird because it's like, there's some part of me, we haven't seen yet what the injury actually is, right? They wanted to get him and Jordy DeLem, who also went down in like the first few minutes with a knee injury, back to Seattle so they can properly evaluate and assess what the injury is. To me, and like this is my complete unmedical analysis, but I've watched enough YouTube videos, it looks like there's a little bit of hope because it wasn't like this weird twisted possible ligament issue, because it wasn't the knee that it looked like he landed on. It wasn't his planted knee that got twisted around and tore everything, right?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that it's just like a really bad knock or like a really bad, you know, hyperextension or a
patella
strain
or something like that. Yeah,
exactly. He looked incredibly injured. He wasn't able to walk off under his own weight. He had to have the two trainers kind of carry him off. We don't necessarily know. It looks really bad. He didn't look great coming off the pitch. We will probably find out at literally as soon as we're done recording this podcast. The way things work.
So why Alex Roldan? Were they out of subs and so they had to have someone throw on a shirt, or were they just like, no, we're not going to bring on whoever this year's Brian Meredith is? And
yeah,
we'll just
no. So the weird thing is Spencer Ritchie, by the way, is a Sounders backup goalkeeper from Seattle. The reason is, so you can make 5 subs in MLS this year. The Sounders had only made 4 subs. However, you can only make those 5 subs over 3 substitution periods. So the Sounders had made 4 subs over 3 substitution periods. So while they had an additional substitution to make, they didn't have any more substitution periods to use that substitution. So despite having that one additional sub, they could not bring another player onto the field. So they had to put a field player in goal in order to play the remaining, you know, whatever it was, 10 minutes of the match.
Why Alex Roldan?
So this is what happens. Christian Roldan goes over and they keep cutting over to Christian Roldan, who I think was captain on the field at that point once Stefan Fry is injured.
Yeah.
Christian Roldan goes over and is talking to Brian Schmetzer. They keep cutting to Stefan Fry in agony, replay of showing why Stefan Fry is in agony, and then over to Christian Roldan and Brian Schmetzer having a very deep conversation. Turns out after the match, Alex Roldan tells the media that Christian Roldan volunteered Alex Roldan to go play goalkeeper. And I saw all these tweets that were like, it's always the little brother that ends up having to play in goal.
He's earning that $93,000, let me tell you. You don't get to score, you get to get kicked at, loser.
Well, and so I had the question, like, before Alex Roldan's talking to the media, I had the question of, like, do they plan for a scenario like this? You know, like, when you go into penalty kick situation, like, where you're taking 5, you know, a penalty shootout, right?
Yeah.
You know the 5 guys who are on the field, right? And if one of those guys gets subbed out for some reason, you know who the people are on the list. You have a pecking order for penalty taking. Now, I thought maybe there's a scenario in which the Sounders in the, like, they say, we know that if for some reason a field player has to jump in goal, it's going to be this person. And they've practiced like maybe once or twice a year of like what it is to like be a shot stopper, right? Nope, not at all. Alex Roldan hasn't played in goal since he said maybe once when I was a kid. And he goes in there and he's credited with 3 saves during the match. I think 2 of them for sure. One of them was like, we'll give it to him because he's a field player type situation.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I mean, keeps the Sounders clean sheet, which was absolutely necessary because the Sounders only had 1 goal. So
amazing.
Huge,
it's amazing.
Huge game if your name was Roldan.
Yeah, keeping it, getting it done on both ends, I suppose,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's cool. So Seattle now number 1 in goals, and specifically goals inside the 18-yard box, but also top 4 in other categories that MLS tracks as important for good teams or whatever. Assists, key passes, and goals outside the 18. Yellow cards, the only spot where the squad isn't on the board, which is pretty incredible. So, that I mean, you see a team that's at the top, and that's finger wagging is definitely a...
no yellow cards.
Well, to be fair, the finger wagger has not played a couple games, so we'll get
there.
True. There's still time. But like, you're talking about a team that's top of the league, and suddenly that adds up. I found it interesting that every team in the West right now has a win, at least 1 win to their name. Mm-hmm. Even Minnesota, who's at the
After
bottom.
After last night, right? I'm pretty sure that was their first win of the year.
And I have no doubt that these teams will bounce back. We're playing LAF. We're not doing anything. Sounders play LAFC this weekend.
Definitely not undefeated if we are playing LAFC yeah. this weekend.
They're like, Yan or Brandon? Yeah. Well, Brandon, you played in goal before? You have. You broke your arm. You're in.
Yeah, great.
But yeah, this weekend, even LAFC is 11th. And you're talking, you know, that team is so stacked. There's no way they stay there. So it's early. But you look at these early metrics and, like, Sounders are showing up on all the big ones. Also, Raul Ruiz Diaz, second in goals behind Chicharito. Ruiz Diaz with 5 and Chicharito with 6. Chicharito looks like the sales guy in the office that just, he's like a little bit over, like maybe 35 or so, and he's feeling a little older. So he gets on the P90X and, like, loses too much weight too fast and looks like a little too skinny for his frame. I was looking at his photo that they use for it. I'm like, man, that guy is really working hard to stay in MLS, which is pretty awesome for the league, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, has he not seen Roman Torres? You do not have to work that hard to stay in this league.
That brings us to the most important player for Seattle. It's the Roldan Bros Plumbing and Heating Man of the Match.
Yeah, your Roldan Bros Man of the Match is, well, the Roldan Bros, the men of the match.
The Roldan Bros Plumbing and Heating, when you need to hit scorchers and lay some pipe. All right, Sunday, the matchup is at 6:30 p.m., maybe. Who knows? Los Angeles Football Club coming to Lumen Field for another FS1 matchup. It was very interesting. Steve Zakuani's voice comes on, and I've actually got some commentator commentary here for you. All of the people that do the commentary all have the very similar voice. I have it too. It's real, when they start talking. Keith Costigan, Casey Keller. Mm-hmm. Even Steve Zakuani a little bit, being British, also, like, I know that what's his name is too, but Brad freaking Evans gets that mic and he's like, hey everybody, I'm Brad Evans. And I'm like, yeah, let's f- this is cool.
Which, I mean, like, you don't even need him to talk to have that feeling.
Yeah, he's got that long hair and my is like next to me and I'm like, what is going on here? I can't say any of that. I'm sorry. That was all very foul and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it was so good to hear the hometown voices, despite the fact that they're all kind of similar or whatever. And Steve Zakuani's commentary is the best. And Brad Evans is a pleasure to have as, like, the kind of the different one of the group. It seems like he's working really hard on getting good at that because he sounds real good at it, too, at the commentary there. Even though it's just pregame and mid-match, I'd love to hear him in the booth a little bit trying to offer some play-by-play commentary.
It's,
anyway,
it's funny. If you watch the highlights, I wasn't able to listen to a lot of the commentary, right? And especially the halftime analysis and all that. But if you watch the highlights of the Sounders posted on Instagram and Twitter and all over the place, but of the few minutes that Alex Roldan was in goal, Casey Keller was loving it. Like, there was one point where, like, Alex Roldan just scooped it up and Keith Gossigan says, spectacular goalkeeping from Alex Roldan. And then in the background, you just hear Casey Keller just, like, cackling. Like, 3 different times, Alex Roldan just touches the ball. And you just hear this from Casey Keller.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
It's so funny. It's like he doesn't even, like, commentate as a goalkeeper, as a professional goalkeeper, as a Sounders legend goalkeeper. Doesn't even commentate on what's happening with the goalkeeping. He just says, yeah.
Literally giddy. He's like literally giddy. Exactly. About it. It's incredible. Especially, like, Casey's getting up in the years and he played a long, long career, but, you know, he's an older dude. And so to see, like, literally a kid compared to him out there doing that, it must be very fun to at a professional level, but it's fun. Okay, so last time out, 1-1 draw in LA. It was just a few weeks ago. That was the didn't listen to New Who moment where he's like, should I lay down? And they're like, no. And then Atuesta was like, yes. And then punished with a goal or whatever. That draw, that was like a 3-point decision, effectively, or 2-point decision, rather, effectively. LA only has a single win right now on the season and none on the road. So they'll be looking to get that done here in Seattle specifically, but they're coming off a loss to the LAG Alaxy. Alaxy? I like that. LA Galaxy.
The LAG Alaxy Lalas.
Perfectly stated. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out this time. The last time around, the LAFC did not look great out there on the pitch, and Sounders looked way better, and it just didn't fall for them. But now we're looking at a different Sounders squad. Who's going to play in goal? And what's that back three going to look like for you? It's got to go back, I guess, to Nuhu, O'Neill, and Yamar at this point because Dilem's out. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's you'll likely have Spencer Ritchie in goal unless something was not as bad as we thought with Stefan Frey. But this is only a few days of turnaround between now and then, right?
Let's
it's a bad, bad bruise and not anything serious, Stefan Frey is not going to be playing this game. So Spencer Ritchie in goal, most likely. I think you look at back at your regular back three that the Sounders have been playing for the last, you know, few matches. I don't think that you're going to have Arriaga and Yamar in. I think you go back to Shane O'Neill, probably Yamar, and Nuhu. Brad Smith comes back into the starting lineup after being able to rest for most of the match against whoever it was that we literally have just been talking about for the San Jose, right?
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, you just get back to regular. The difference this time is that Carlos Vela, who was out during that first match, he's been questionable during the last couple. He very well could be either starting or at least in the roster, in the mix for the LAFC coming into this match.
I could see him Lodero-ing it, like being questionable day of and then maybe coming on for some minutes at the end to get him back up. But like, it's a long, long season and it's not worth burning out Lodero or Vela at this point for either team. It just doesn't seem worth it.
Well, and speaking of, you have Lodero and Montero. So Lodero didn't even make the 18 for the roster this against San Jose. Montero started on the bench, did come in for the second half. I'm interested if we're going to start to see, instead of starting a Danny Leyva or a Dabaler, are we going to start to see Freddie Montero now that he's had a few halves under his belt?
I think you're ramping up Lodero to play by having those other kids start, get him some minutes at the end and then have him come on and play full 90 this weekend, perhaps.
Yeah. And Montero.
Yeah. Montero. He gets up. I'm sorry if I said Lodero. Montero. Montero gets up for the big matchups, like any like really awesome player like that, he'll be ready for it.
Yeah. So who knows, like Vela, Lodero, probably both questionable for this match going into it. I would imagine both of them make the 18. Both of them probably do see a few minutes. But, you know, LAFC just needs a couple moments with a guy like Diego Rossi. With Atuesta, we saw the free kick. So they are, yes, they only have one win in the league this year. Yes, the Sounders were able to get a draw in LA during the last match. Sounders are good at home. But this is a dangerous team. They've beat the Sounders at home before. And with a starting your backup goalkeeper with some questions in your midfield, playing without your league or your team MVP in Lodero again. Yeah, the Sounders have been able to manage so far, but again, LAFC dangerous when they can be.
Yeah, Will Bruin too. That's gonna be a big factor, so that's cool.
Oh, I keep forgetting about Will Bruin. I always forget about Will Bruin. And that's my bad.
Poor Wilbur.
Gosh. Poor Bill.
Poor Billy B. Okay, take a look into your Crystal Pepsi ball, Brandon. Neither of us has gotten it right yet, but take a look into the swirling effervescence and tell us what you... Unless you got it right last time. Did you get it right last time?
Taking a look back, which I don't know where we archive. Let's go. Nope.
What did you guess?
I did not get it right last time. I said the Sounders 3-1. You said the Sounders 2-0. So
close.
Yeah, you're close. And
I'd just like to point out that throughout the season, neither of us has gotten it right yet. Yeah, I was better at guessing 9-0 back in the day than I am now at actually guessing real matches.
I don't know that like that our Crystal Pepsi ball is all that accurate. I'm starting to have questions about how powerful our swirling effervescence of the Crystal Pepsi might actually be.
But it's got that great 90s taste, so what are you going to do?
It does taste nice.
Take a look into the swirling Crystal Pepsi ball and tell us your prediction for Sunday, 6:30 Lumen Field, LAFC, coming to try and steal some points from Seattle Sounders FC. What do you see?
I am going to go ahead and say that the Sounders are going to win this one 2-1. And I want to see Big Bill finally get his goal, so I'm going to say Will Bruin goal and a Raul Diaz goal to keep up with Chicharito.
Cool. I'm going to say something safe, and I'm going to go a repeat of last time. It's going to be a 1-1 draw.
Whoa.
Splitting the points both home and away. Stefan Frey not in goal. I feel like you can't hope for a clean sheet unless you put Alex Roldan back there, and maybe he's up for it. I don't know. That'd be incredible if he became our new starting
keeper. Oh, my God. He did look, my brother sent me a text and he was like, Alex Roldan looks like a literal child wearing that goalkeeper's jersey. He's like wearing Stephen Fry's large and Alex Roldan is like a medium.
That was good. Okay, it's in case this podcast was too long and you didn't listen, it's too long, didn't listen.
Too long, didn't listen.
Two Roldans equals one Joao Paulo.
Yeah. Too long. How many new who's is that? Too long, didn't listen.
He's making two new who's now.
Okay, so one Joao Paulo equals two new who's equals I don't know if two that's true. Roldans. Okay, I got to learn math. We got to get Aaron back in on this. Our math.
Wait, did we confirm that he does do math?
Yeah, we confirmed that he said that he's dyslexic and that helps with his math. So, hey, good for you, bud.
Man, that is not the guess I would have made. Yeah. But cool.
Too long, didn't listen.
Nico gets paid one third of a new who more than you do.
Is if you are Raul Ruiz Diaz.
Yeah. How many neck tattoos could you get for that, though? That's crazy.
I actually want to do some math on that. Depends on who you go to. If you go to Our Lady.
No. Neck sleeve.
Next. Turtleneck?
It's the 12-inch tattoo.